Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we have a lot to get to. More Simone Biles news out of Tokyo at the Olympic Games here. Her not competing now in the individual events coming up here. More conversation about her in just a little bit here. We've got NFL training camps opening up all over the place, which means you've got to be careful to not get got by the fake tweets like I did today, which we can get to. But Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, kind enough to fill in for Chinne Agwumike today. Myron, Aaron Rodgers apparently was not done giving us content right now. I had no idea it was Festivus because we had a full-blown airing of grievances during the 32-minute presser by the Packers star quarterback today.
Man, I thought that we would be talking about week one. We put the past behind us, maybe talk a little bit about the drama, but we'd move forward. It does not appear, Mike, that Aaron Rodgers is ready to move forward yet.
No, it does not. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because Aaron Rodgers was overwhelmingly honest in this press conference for a guy who made it abundantly clear none of those leaks this offseason were coming from my camp. Aaron Rodgers clearly had been sitting with the pen and the pad in hand, taking notes to get ready for this moment. And so, Myron, I want to run through a couple of things with you here, because I watched this today and I wondered, for fans of the Green Bay Packers, for people that have been watching this drama unfold all offseason, did any of what we heard today change things? So here was Aaron Rodgers at the podium today talking about his role in the decision-making around the team and how he believes the Packers view him, specifically in this instance starting with the decision to hire Matt LaFleur as the head coach.
I talked to Matt after the deal had already been in place to hire him as coach. I wasn't part of that conversation. You know, let's just make that completely clear. I do love Matt, and we've had a blast together, and I'm glad he's here. But it's decisions like that that have happened over and over and over again that make me realize that the organization looks at me and my job is just to play. In my opinion, based on what I've accomplished in this league, the way I care about my teammates, the way I show up in the locker room, the way I lead, the way I conduct myself in the community, it should tie myself to a little bit more input. The rules, you know, are the same for most people, but every now and then there's some outliers, you know, guys who've been in an organization for 17 years and won a few MVPs, where they can be in conversations at a different higher level. I'm not asking for anything that other great quarterbacks across the last few decades have not gotten.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So, Myron, we're hearing a lot straight from Aaron Rodgers now of what's been reported this offseason, essentially confirming everything we've heard. So, hearing it from him now, does any of what you heard today change things for you, the way you viewed this situation?
To me, it almost makes it worse, you know? I mean, almost Matt LaFleur kind of took one there saying, hey, yeah, I like him, but I wasn't involved in those conversations. And it still feels like we're talking about something, Mike, that can't be resolved now. The season is here. He's going to play. If you want to exercise this power, that has to happen next year. But are you even going to be here? So I don't think this is a group that's in sync. We kind of knew that going into this, but I'm having a hard time believing that this isn't something that will bleed into the season, man, because that drama is still fresh. At least it is for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it was fresh enough to bring up and occupy the first day of training camp that they were reporting to here, Myron. And I keep looking at this, and I know we've had this conversation a million different ways, but hearing it all from Aaron again today, and you hear him talk about the list of veteran free agents, guys that he thought were not treated right by the Packers on the way out. This is interesting to me. Listen to some of the names that he brings up here, trying to underscore his point about not only the way he feels like he's being treated, but the way this organization has treated stars in the past, because that seems to bleed in to a lot of this.
I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
And Myra, we know that this league and pro sports in general isn't a place that's just sitting around ready to hand out money and things for high character. Like, this is a performance-based business, so I'm sure we can go back through all those individual cases and find a lot of differences among them about guys that maybe were legitimately done wrong. A lot of Packers fans maybe still feeling some type of way about how things ended with Charles Woodson. But I don't think those are all the same. But this is just a reminder to me that we know it's not been about the money. That was made clear. I don't think this is about any one of these things. But it's just 12 continuing to look around and say, all right, I've never fully felt like, through all these little transgressions, I've been given the love I feel like I've earned here. And I've watched you do it to guys that I really like. And so I'm even more aware that I could just be next. And I think that's finally why he's cutting it loose here, saying, what good has it done me already? It's not like I feel like I'm being heard. I might as well at least go out here speaking how I feel.
And I think all of that's fine. He's obviously been talking like that for the entire offseason. But nothing I'm hearing says I'm completely dialed in to what's ahead. It still feels like he's worried about how guys were treated. He feels devalued. All those things are valid. But how does that impact the upcoming season? At the end of the day, high-character guys are great, and the guys he described are certainly fan favorites. But none of those moves stopped the Packers from being in the NFC Championship the last couple of years. Guys want to win at the end of the day. I know Aaron Rodgers wants to as well, but I just don't know if this is a guy who has sort of cleared the air with all of the drama and he's focused on what's ahead. It still feels like he wants to handle some of these internal beefs, and I don't know that there's time to do that. The season's here.
Well, I would say this, though, Myron. Are any of these feelings that sound like they probably weren't there last year? Right? Like, this is a guy who went out and won the MVP last year. I'd imagine largely feeling the same way. That was last season after the immediacy of drafting Jordan Love. So it wasn't like these are a lot of new feelings here. They were ones that were certainly talked about more openly this offseason by everyone around Aaron, but he managed to dial it in last year and go out there and stick it to them pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, the difference here, Mike, is the reports that he's going to leave after this season, right? Or that he can. He's going to demand a trade. So I think that's the part that's different. It feels like this is the last dance. You know, we saw the photo with him and Devontae Adams. So that, to me, is a guy saying, listen, I'm not happy. I'll play now, but I'm out after this.
It is a little bit. Now, he said in his press conference today that he has not ruled out a return to Green Bay after this season. That is not something he's taken there fully off the table. And, Myron, I get that pressure can do weird things to teams, but you mentioned the roster construction relative to some of those players in the past. What we've talked about all offseason is this is still a pretty darn good roster on offense. Now, defensively, can they cover up some of the holes that popped up in the secondary, especially in critical moments of the postseason? But we still all look at this roster going into the year and say it's one that's lined up to have a lot of continuity in important places here that could absolutely make them a contender again.
Yeah, they're right there. I mean, I think a lot of people assume they're right there behind Tampa Bay, which is why when he talks about power and using it, Mike, I'm like, when? Like, when does he get to flex that power he wants? It's not going to happen now. This is the group you have. This is the group you're here to play with. So that's my challenge to Aaron Rodgers is you want more power, but that's not going to happen until next season if you decide to stay with the team. This is the group you got to go with.
Oh, yeah. But Myron, I'm totally with you. I don't think there's anything he can do now, but this seemed like the spot where, for all the conversation around this offseason, we never heard it directly from him. And
that's
so true. I think this felt like his opportunity to address the elephant in the room. And he wasn't going to hold back on it here, maybe with the thought process of, I'm going to get this all out now. I am going to purge all of this information and feelings. You guys can deal with it. And then I can get back to playing football. Because we know he's been working out. He's been training. We saw those pictures pop up this offseason. He said it wasn't his first in the building. But Myron, as we all know, there's plenty of veterans late in their career who have exercised that option to go do other things with their time before the season starts.
They definitely have. I mean, the question, Mike, is do you think any of this affects the Packers this season? Or is that just being overblown?
I do not, personally. Like, maybe it can come up. Listen, losing always creates problems, and this could certainly be something that's exasperated in that case. But do I think this is something that leads to losing or leads to strife? No, I don't think so.
I hope that's the case, but we're going to see here in the coming weeks.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, we will check in to see how it looks like on the ground and what the reaction from Packers fans has been like as Aaron Rodgers makes his very vocal return to the locker room. Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Aaron Rodgers, apparently thought it was open mic night in Green Bay and decided to let loose on everybody on his way back into the building. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Myra Metcalf with you guys here. And Kevin Seifert, our ESPN NFL writer, was out in Green Bay, now leaving Packers camp here. But in the meantime, and I saw this on the ESPN Plus Twitter account earlier today, Kevin, we appreciate your time. I know you were out there talking to some Packers fans about how they're feeling with Aaron Rodgers, and I saw one Packers fan, Rachel Graff, who's a bar owner, actually commissioned a beer called Crybaby 12. Did you get to try Crybaby 12, Kevin?
I did. It went down smooth. It was an amber, not too thick, not too bitter, just went down smooth. It was a good 11 a.m. beer to start off the day yesterday with.
I can imagine 11 a.m. beers in Wisconsin are something that are pretty done pretty often, so that makes a lot of sense. But, Kevin, what was the general consensus that you got here? Because Aaron Rodgers announced his presence with authority today. What has the fan response been like?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was interesting. Rodgers has always had a complicated relationship with fans because he followed Brett Favre, who was everybody's everyman hero, and they loved him. And nobody could ever live up to the kind of connection that Favre had. And so Rodgers has really, you know, had a complicated relationship with him. But what I found is that, you know, everybody wanted him back. Everybody who's a Packers fan knows that you're better off with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback this year than you were with Jordan Love. And I don't think anyone would argue that. But there was definitely a little bit of exasperation with, at least on the part of a lot of the people I talked to, with sort of the way that Rodgers went about it and the sort of kind of enjoyment or entertainment he seemed to be getting out of passively aggressively twisting the knife in public over the course of a few months. Because while his beef was clearly with the front office, you had all these fans who were hanging on every word trying to figure out, are we going to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year, or are we rebuilding? And I think there was, again, they all wanted him back, but if he hadn't come back or if he had retired, there were definitely some people who said, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And it was surprising that people would feel that way about the reigning MVP. It was a little surprising that a sports bar, 45 minutes away from Lambeau would be mocking him with a beer name, but that was the state of affairs that I encountered.
Kevin, always good to talk to somebody else from the Minneapolis ESPN fraternity.
This
Absolutely. Has obviously been a chaotic year. When Aaron talks about power and more power and influence, like, how realistic is that, and what does that look like if he gets it?
Well, it's something that's just starting to become a thing in the NFL. You know, I think we've seen it in the NBA a lot more. You saw Tom Brady last year, you know, maneuver his way out of New England, bring his friend Rob Gronkowski with him. Have a say in the makeup of the team and probably in the makeup of this year's team as well, in terms of them bringing everyone back. And so it doesn't mean you walk into the general manager's door and you say, this is what I want. We need this guy at left tackle. We need this guy in free agency. We need this guy to be our offensive coordinator. But it's a sense that you're being looped in to make sure that you're on board with the plan. And if you have an idea for somebody you think you can hook up with and bring to make the team better, that the team actually listens to you. And in the case of the Bucks and Brady, I think they understood that Rob Gronkowski could make the team better, and that's why they brought him in. And that was on Brady's recommendation, obviously. And so I think that's really what Rodgers is after. You know, he wants to be able to say, hey, I know Randall Cobb is getting older, but let's keep him. Let's not let him go sign with another team. Jordy Nelson might be getting old. Let's not let him sign with the Raiders. Jake Kumerow is somebody that not many people know about, but I really think he's good. I think he can help us. Let's keep him. And so I think that is clearly what he was looking for. The Packers, you know, Brian Gutekunst is the general manager. He's from the Ron Wolf School of long-term planning, and he may or may not be on board with that type of influence, but I think Rodgers was really trying to, you know, blaze a little bit of a trail here in the NFL to give the handful of truly transcendent stars more of a say in the way the team is constructed and eventually deconstructed than they currently have.
Chenango Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Kevin Seifert, our ESPN NFL writer, who was just out at Packers camp. And Kevin, a lot of that sounds like sentiment, right? None of those were going to be foundational pieces or ground shakers there, but just the idea of being listened to and having some influence on these conversations with his expertise. You mentioned the deconstruction, though. How much influence does Aaron Rodgers now have on what might happen next year, on his ability to dictate the terms of his potential leaving Green Bay?
Well, it's interesting. He was out on the practice field before there was any official word or filing of a new contract. But the understanding is that he'll, you know, have more of a say in whether he plays in Green Bay next year or plays somewhere else than he did this year. And whether that means that he's got an agreement to sit down with the Packers after the season and figure out if he wants to stay there or not, or if they're willing to do the things that he wants them to do in order to stay there, or if he can engineer a trade. I think that is another thing he probably wanted to have a little bit more of, you know, and it's partly, you know, on him. He signed a long-term contract a few years ago in 2018, and that limited his ability to dictate where he's going. But I think if there was no other tangible return on what he went through and what the Packers had to deal with this whole offseason, it was that at least to have a little bit more influence in whether he and where he plays next year, assuming that he does. This year, all he really had a choice of is play or not. Next year, perhaps he'll have a little bit more leverage to convince the Packers that he'd like to move on, and they could get a return on him that would be significantly more than if they eventually just let him in a couple more years after this leave via free agency. So we'll see if that ends up being the case, but I think that that's certainly something he was after and something, you know, Adam Schefter has reported that he is seeking to achieve.
Lots here for Aaron Rodgers, clearly feeling some type of way about, but that one of the biggest outcomes of all this, I think, is the power to dictate his future, whether it is in Green Bay or beyond. Kevin, we appreciate you giving us some time. We're glad you got a nice 11 a.m. beer in there. Hopefully we can follow suit at some point. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Awesome stuff. Again, you can check that out on ESPN Plus from our ESPN NFL writer, Kevin Seifert. Coming up next, though, more news out of Tokyo. Simone Biles withdraws from the individual all-around final coming up. How does this add to the conversation that was started yesterday around one of the biggest stars in the world? We'll get to that next after this word from 5-Hour Energy. You got a long list of DIY projects that you're getting ready to tackle at home here. I had a sink that was leaking forever. Took me so much to get going and actually do the damn thing here. 5-Hour Energy Shot, help the cause. You can help check everything off your list just by taking a 5-Hour Energy Shot. 5-Hour Energy is the brand hardworking people like you have trusted for 17 years to keep them alert and energized on those hectic days. Go to 5hourenergy.com today, and when you get there, use promo code GOLIC to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com, promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. More on Simone Biles next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Our thanks to ESPN NFL reporter Kevin Seifert for stopping by on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf. And Myron, if I seem a little bit distracted, is because right now, for some reason, in the studio here at ESPN's headquarters, they got ESPN Classic playing Notre Dame versus Stanford in 2011, my true senior year, and we're down 14 right now, so I'm a little nervous we might lose this one.
Man, I love watching those classic games, man. Like, give me all of it in the offseason. Get you ready for college football season.
I just don't remember this one being a classic. Like, I had 3 false starts in that game. I hate this game. I do not want to relive this. So this feels like an attack by my employer in a way that I'm not necessarily thrilled about right now. So we'll try and distance ourselves from this here. But I'll keep you guys updated and see if number 22-ranked Notre Dame can make the comeback down 14 against number 6 Stanford right now. Their center's a bit of a liability here. But let's switch gears a little bit now. It's time for the Summer Games News and Notes brought to you by California Almonds. Representing your country or representing your trivia team, almonds are a natural fuel for the best you. California Almonds, own your everyday, every day. And Myron, we got more news from Simone Biles. We know she had withdrawn from the team U.S. Women's Gymnastics final that ultimately landed with the women's team taking second. We now have news that it was uncertain before, it is certain now. Simone Biles has also withdrawn from the individual all-around finals. So, Myron, we didn't get to talk to you about this yesterday here. Watching all of this unfold around Simone Biles and this decision here, does this news change anything? Because I know a lot of people were already loading up the tape machine saying, well, if she goes out here and competes as an individual, this somehow changes the conversation around someone deciding in the moment the way she did yesterday during the events, hey, mentally, I am not here and I can't do this.
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, I heard that too, that if she had decided to go forward, then that's fine. You know, she gets to decide what's appropriate for her. And, you know, to me, I can't imagine the level of courage that all of this took. She's doing this on the biggest spotlight in her sport, the main stage for women's gymnastics. She's the greatest of all time. So many factors involved there. And there's only one Simone Biles. So no one else can say, I know what it's like. Well, you can't unless you're her. So for her to step up and say, you know what, I'm not ready, I don't want to do this, I just think that's such a strong and courageous statement. And anybody in the social media world, Mike, who says otherwise, forget those people. I think Simone Biles did something outstanding and courageous, and I think she should be commended for speaking up and saying, you know what, I'm not okay.
She did something that we've seen some of, but now we're probably getting ready for more of, right? Which is athletes in this new generation basically saying that old paradigm of we're going to go out here and sacrifice our bodies no matter what probably ain't going to be the case anymore. Like, I know a lot of people brought up Andrew Luck, some other examples of football players retiring early, and none of them are apples-to-apples comparisons, Myron, but I think it goes back to this, because I had a conversation with a lot of people yesterday about the notion of sacrificing for your team and what this decision meant to her teammates, meant to the team at the time. Like, sacrifice for the team, and you cover college, you know, you cover college basketball, you cover sports around here, you know, that's always going to be something that's hugely important and hugely valuable in sports. I think a lot of these athletes and a lot of the young athletes are basically saying, we got to put limits on this because I've seen the effects and I know too much now to keep going like that.
I think they're definitely saying that. And I think they're also learning from the past generation. Like, a lot of members of the past generation, guys in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, Mike, we didn't find out what was going on with them until after their careers. Like, we didn't learn about some of their struggles until later. They were too afraid, a lot of them, to raise their hand while they were playing and say, you know what, this is tough, I don't know if I can do it. So I think this is, you know, this is signaling a change, I hope, in how we talk about mental health and how we talk about some of these issues. Because to your point, this generation has a breaking point and they're not afraid to admit that. And they're not afraid to say, listen, I'm not okay to go forward and I'm not going to compete. And they're not worried about what the world thinks about that.
Janine Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Myron Metcalf. I think the other part is the world watching this moment, a lot of us with untrained eyes, right? Like, this is a sport we parachute in on every 4 years and try and make sense of here when the specifics evade a lot of us. Like, I feel comfortable talking and weighing in on more of the football situations here because I've lived that. I know the little intricacies and the decisions that go into how these things affect player safety. And to be clear, that's a decision more and more players are starting to make with this because they understand how this game can affect them in the long term here. I think a lot fewer of us understand that with gymnastics, and that's why Shannon Miller, 7-time Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics, joined Spain and Fitz last night and talked about Simone assessing the potential danger of the situation.
I don't know that there's any gymnast out there, whatever level you are, that hasn't been through what we call a mental block or losing themselves in the middle of a twist or a skill. What's very good about this situation is Simone understood and knew that this is dangerous and that if she's not in the right headspace to perform these extremely, some of the most difficult moves in the entire world, flying 10, 15 feet above the ground, you better know where you are or disaster is going to happen. And to have the wherewithal to say, you know what, this is not going to happen tonight. This is not a good place for me to be. I think that's a really important thing to have that that body awareness.
Like, Myron, I did not know what the twisties were before this Olympics. Yeah. This is essentially, for anyone that's missed that, the term that applies to gymnastics version of the yips, where you lose the ability to know and have the relation of your body while you're making all these spins in midair, which I saw a number of former gymnasts take to Twitter the other day to explain their experience with this, how difficult it is to come back from in all these spots. And so that's one of those specific things learning in this instance. It's like, all right, if I don't know specifically what this looks like, hell, in a sport especially where control of their bodies has been something that's come up in some of the worst ways on earth, to see someone taking that back and applying the expertise that Simone Biles really stands alone with in U.S. women's gymnastics, this is one of those spots where I'm kind of willing to take her word on it.
Yeah, she's Simone Biles, one of the greatest of all time. I think we should take her word. And I wonder what that adds to the pressure, just the level of execution in a sport where one stumble and it can cost you everything. That doesn't happen in basketball and football to that degree. So I think we should trust Simone Biles when she's saying, you know what, I'm not ready to go.
And we should also probably apply some of the ways we're treating Simone Biles in this to more athletes going forward. Because this is also one of the other things is I saw people complaining that they felt like Simone Biles was being treated differently because we liked her, because she has done so many great things. And it was kind of a gut check moment for me, Myron, in saying, all right, I probably need to apply some of this grace to other athletes we see go through things at certain times that we've been more critical of because maybe they play a sport where they wear a helmet. You don't see their faces as much. We kind of have some of that dehumanization that happens.
Yeah, and I think not even just other athletes, other people in general, but this is why I think these conversations are so important. I hope we're changing the way that we acknowledge and talk about these issues.
Absolutely. So, again, more important discussion around Simone Biles, who's withdrawn now from the individual all-around finals, saying she's going to take the time to focus on getting her mental health and her mental space in the right spot going forward. Coming up next, though, as we talked about, NFL training camps are underway. Aaron Rodgers was basically lighting the Packers facility on fire today at the mics, but we will head to a training camp with a far bigger and more severe issue that's on their hands, playing out on field in front of them. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf filling in for Jhené Egwumike today. We'll get back to Aaron Rodgers here. Some more from his 32-minute session at the podium, Myron. I don't know what I expected when Aaron Rodgers finally got to speak for himself, Myron, but I didn't expect. I saw Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network tweet. I asked him one question that was like four words long, and he went for 6 minutes on it. Like, he was ready to get this off his chest.
I was honestly expecting some no comments, some brief answers. I didn't know he was going to get it all off his chest today.
Makes me wonder what the first post-game press conference is going to look like during the season, if Aaron Rodgers might just be this unplugged at that point. But, Myron, that's a story that we can kind of enjoy now because it's been off-season drama. It's been things largely based in football. What's going on right now in Houston is anything but that. The Houston Texans took the field for their first day of training camp this morning, and Deshaun Watson was out there. He was not working with the ones, not working in team drills. He was participating in individuals. I saw they had him lined up at scout team safety. And Myron, how are we supposed to feel about Deshaun Watson, who has 22 pending civil suits and 10 women who have now filed complaints with the Houston Police Department, all being actively investigated while he's out here actually playing football?
I think we're supposed to think that this is wild, right? I don't think here's the other challenge, right? Is we know that if he were not an elite quarterback, he wouldn't be on the field and this wouldn't be a conversation. So there's that element of it too. I understand that the NFL is in a situation where they're still investigating. You don't have criminal charges, and there are a number of accusations that are now going down the path of being a civil matter. But 22 accusations are not something that you can just ignore. So it feels to me as if someone should step in. I don't know who that is. Is it the Texans? Is it the NFL? But it's just a terrible look for Deshaun Watson to be out there in any capacity with the unknowns attached to his situation.
And according to league sources, and this is courtesy of our ESPN Texans reporter, Sarah Barshop, according to league sources, the NFL has not been given access to talk to many of the plaintiffs who filed lawsuits or to third parties who might have relevant information. The NFL has also not been given access to the evidence that police have gathered in their investigation. And so, Myron, this is the other thing, is this discomfort seems built to last right now, because the NFL said he'll have no restrictions while this investigation is ongoing. But we know the legal side can take a long time. The NFL does do its own investigations, and we saw in the case of Ben Roethlisberger and in the case of Ezekiel Elliott, a lack of criminal charges did not stop them from suspending those players.
Which is why, you know, that there could be another move ahead when it comes to Deshaun Watson. The NFL statement said, as of now. So that doesn't mean they can't make a decision here in the coming weeks and months or even sooner than that. So you have to wonder if they're going to allow him to actually get out there and play in week one. And there's obviously, we don't know if he's innocent or he's guilty, but when you're talking about a number like 22, that just feels like something where a player perhaps shouldn't be on the field, because you don't know and you don't want him to play. And then you find out he actually has committed some of these terrible acts. So someone has to step in, and it doesn't appear that it's going to be the NFL right now. And it's certainly not the Houston Texans. So then that leaves me to wonder, Mike, will he play? Are we looking at a situation where we're going to see Deshaun Watson in a Texans uniform or somewhere else actually playing in this NFL season?
Yeah, Myron, I don't have an easy answer to that. It's a complicated situation with a ton of gray area that I understand the NFL is in a difficult position trying to weigh in with. But it's the worst nightmare for a league that's already got a bad reputation for how it values, supports, and has those values reflected in action when it comes to its female fans, to the women that work inside the league. And this would be one of the more, I mean, prominent examples where, like you said, to see him trotted out on Sundays with this all hanging in the balance legally would be the top story. Like, David Culleon, I think this team already have very little chance of success. He's not been put in a winnable situation. This would make having to not only go out there and be a bad football team feel 1,000 times worse, having to constantly have this be the thing that's the topic of conversation.
Yeah, and David Culley's brought in to clean up a culture that was deemed to be problematic. The other factor in all this, Mike, is that Deshaun Watson says he doesn't want to be there. He wants to be traded. So there's that element of things as well. I don't know how this won't be a distraction going forward. If they let Deshaun Watson talk to the media, I don't know if he will, but if they allow it, all of the questions are going to be about his situation. You're not going to be able to stop that. So this feels like something that's going to linger and linger as long as he's out there on the field.
Myron, you brought this up before when we were talking in the pre-show meeting about what role the NFLPA might potentially play in all this. And it made me go back and look at a lot of the reporting around Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension. Because remember, there was no arrest or criminal charges there, but the NFL had a 13-month investigation that ended up with a 6-game suspension. And along the way, you had the league accusing the PA of leaking things about the alleged victims in these situations here, and the NFLPA calling that a lie. Like, everyone involved needs to learn from those past mistakes and understand that the NFLPA, the NFL, all represent the larger group of players who need not be embarrassed by the way these groups handle a situation that we acknowledge is difficult, but unfortunately it's something that you're familiar enough with now to where you cannot act like that when the situation, if it does present itself again.
Yeah, which is to your point, if you're both the Players Association and the NFL, you want to be right. You don't want to just do something to do it. You want to make sure it's the right move. And you hope at the end of this investigation, whatever they decide to do, that it is the right thing and it's supported by the Players Association.
And we see that can be a relationship full of animosity at times. And we know the NFLPA has got to guard against precedent and all these different things. I understand that. You've got to recognize for the players that you represented for this league, this is one of those things that's bigger than that. And there's got to be some semblance of cooperation to make sure that they are getting this as close to whatever right looks like as possible and being as fair as possible. Certainly the PA's got to be concerned about Deshaun Watson, but we've learned you've got to put the alleged victims at the center of this and understand that there are a lot of people watching how you are going to treat those people, and it needs to be a lot better than you've demonstrated in the past in multiple instances. We'll get into plenty more on that because, as we've said, this is going to continue to be a story while he is on the field with the Texans. We'll flip back over to the side of training camp dealing with actual football and find out how much we think Aaron Rodgers' airing of grievances may affect the product we see on the field for the Green Bay Packers. Is it a home run that they'll be back in the NFC title? Next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.